You're listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks, your source for centered and focused play therapy coaching.
Hi, I'm Dr. Brenna Hicks, the kid counselor. This is the Play Therapy Podcast. And today we are diving into the first of the choice giving principles. So if you're new, welcome, glad you're here. If you have been following me the whole time, you remember we went through history, background, foundation, philosophy, et cetera, et cetera. We moved into the pillars, then we moved into principles of each pillar. So last episode was the final of the reflecting feelings principles, and now we're moving into the first of the choice-giving principles. So as we dive into choice-giving principles, I think it's important to very briefly recap the choice-giving pillar, kind of what its purpose is, what its role is, and how these principles align with that. So choice giving is about empowerment. It's about returning control and power to kids that often feel that they have neither. And as we provide them with choices, we can use choices in different ways. So we have empowerment choices. We have choices for inappropriate behavior. There's different ways that we use choice giving. But as a general rule, we are constantly returning responsibility to the child so that they can develop self-control and self-regulation. And over time, they learn that their actions have consequences and they accept the natural consequence to the choice that they made. So that's a very brief overview of the choice giving pillar. So the principle today is, by the way, I want to cite and give credit where it's due. So this is from the CPRT training by Landreth and Bratton. So the principle is empower kids by giving them credit for decisions. So when the child is in the playroom with you and you notice that they choose to use a specific toy, you notice that they choose one of the choices that you provided when you set a limit. You notice that they were debating between one red hockey stick and one blue hockey stick, and they chose the blue one. It's important to empower them by giving them credit verbally. So you chose the blue stick. You chose not to throw the cars at me because you wanted to continue to play with them. You decided to stack those on the tile instead of the rug so they didn't fall over. It's really important that we are constantly verbally acknowledging the choices that they are making because it does several things. It reinforces that they have a measure of control. When you say, you chose, you decided, it's very clear that the ownership lies within their power and control. I didn't choose that for you. That was something that you chose. So that's one outcome. The second outcome is it reminds them that their need for power and control doesn't have to be as strong. If a child is constantly given choices and they're constantly acknowledged for making the choices that they do, it's kind of a running dialogue in their head. I chose this, I decided this, I chose this, I decided this. And it fills them up with a sense of empowerment. So that then the power struggles and the control grabs reduce. Their intensity is lessened, their frequency is lessened, their severity is lessened because they are constantly aware, I do have a measure of control. I do have power in this situation. And as I make choices, I feel the responsibility and the ownership of that. And then finally, you have the concept that when kids are working through power and control, which almost all kids that come into a playroom have some power and control struggle, it's almost across the board. So that is a very closely paralleled theme to lots of other presenting concerns. So it's not as if necessarily the parents are going to come to you and say, my child is always in a power struggle with me, although some do. They always want to be in control of everything, although some do. But most of the time, parents aren't going to present that kind of concern to you. But they may talk about how they lose their mind if someone touches their toy and doesn't put it back exactly where they had it. Well, that is power and control, anxiety-based power and control. So it's important to recognize almost every child is going to struggle with this. And as we give them choices and as we constantly are giving them opportunities to make those choices, it helps them learn that they are capable. It helps them learn that they are competent. It helps them trust themselves. It gives them opportunities to practice making decisions and then therefore accepting the outcome that comes with the decision as well. So, you know, getting back to the hockey stick decision. So in my playroom, I have a knee hockey set, which I know that doesn't make sense if you don't see it, but the sticks are about half the height of normal and you're supposed to play hockey on your knees. So the goals are really little and the sticks are really little and it's knee hockey. So if you can visualize that, that's what's in my playroom. And there are three red sticks and three blue sticks, a goalie stick for each color, a right-handed stick and a left-handed stick for each color. So three red, three blue, red and blue balls, and then the nets. And so the bag is always full of these sticks and kids will lay them all out and they're kind of trying to assess, which stick do I want? The goalie stick is bigger. Do I want that one? This one's curved weird. If I hit with this one, it doesn't really do because if they're right-handed and they grab the left stick, it doesn't curve the right way. So they're kind of exploring this, right? And there's always this moment where I can tell that they're deciding. And if I miss the opportunity to say, oh, you chose the red stick, the child doesn't internalize the decision. They don't internalize the power and control that they had over that moment. They just think they picked the red stick. That's why the word choose and the word choice and the word chose are so powerful in choice giving. It is not the same thing if you say, oh, you have red, or you picked blue, or you wanted that color. Those are all tracking behavior types of statements. They're all reflective feeling type of statements, but it's not choice giving. It's not the same thing. The word choose, the word chose, the word choice, those are extremely powerful to help the child connect. I was in charge. I had a decision to make. I had an opportunity to solve this problem and to decide what I wanted, and I chose this. So let's get back to the principle. Empower kids by giving them credit for decisions. It's extremely empowering when someone validates you and says, that was your decision. And they get credit for something because here's what happens. Kids usually only get called out or verbally acknowledged when they don't do something they were supposed to do. It's actually rare if a child is validated in a positive way just because the parent or the teacher or the therapist chose to acknowledge something. It's far more likely they're going to have a verbal conversation when they make a mistake, when they don't do something, when there's some kind of problem. So to constantly acknowledge a child's choice, it acknowledges the credit, it gives them credit for what they did. And over time, that builds on itself. So they learn what it feels like to make a choice. They practice making choices. They learn what it feels like to accept the consequence. If my child chose the blue stick and then halfway through decides that the blue stick is cursed and that's why he's not scoring any goals and he wants to go and switch to the red stick, there was consequence with choosing that stick. And so then you say, oh, you're changing your mind. Now you're choosing to switch to the red one. Because it constantly gives credit and empowerment and acknowledgement for what you're choosing in this moment. And with that choice, there is a natural consequence to it. So it builds on each other. It helps them practice and learn and grow and see what it's like, see what it feels like to make a choice, feel the power, feel the control. And then, of course, accept what comes with that choice. So I hope that is helpful for you. I really, really like the choice giving skill. I think it is so valuable. And I think the principles that go along with it really just help solidify why it's so important to use choices in the playroom. Really quickly, before we wrap up, I want to make you aware of a new development. I, several podcasts ago, mentioned that we are pivoting our center. We are now wanting to bring in therapists to stay with us for a 2-year training program, kind of a work train hybrid. And I let you know that if you are able to move to Tampa and come train with me, I would love to have you. A few of you have reached out and are considering the move. I'm so excited for that. However, the volume of responses that I've gotten from those of you that are remote and cannot move to Tampa, but still want to train with me, has given us a new opportunity, and we're really excited about this. So if you go to playtherapynow.com, you will kind of see the two different options that we're creating for you. So obviously the first is the in-person training. That's actually what I spoke about when we first announced this. If you want to jumpstart your private practice play therapy career, if you want to be the best child-centered play therapist that you know, and you want to be really successful in a thriving private practice, and you can move to Tampa, I would love to have you. So one part of the page, you will find information about that. The other part of the page, you will see about the remote training option where we're going to have a small cohort from all over the world. I've had people from Canada reach out. I've had people from the UK reach out, people from London, people from all over the United States. It's been incredible to see all of you so hungry and needy of play therapy training and private practice training. So I'm really excited. You will also see there's going to be a virtual remote option. And as I've mentioned before, my vision is a world filled with happy kids who become happy adults. And I deeply feel that in our community, in the local Tampa Bay area, I see evidence of the work that we're doing, the child-centered play therapy model, its work, its success, the change that takes place in children and families. And I know that that is an amazing opportunity that I've been given. I'm really grateful that God's opened those doors for me. I will say, though, my vision has always been, what's the biggest reach that I can have and what's the greatest impact that I can have generationally, cyclically, for all of time when I'm dead and gone, you know, what is my legacy? And it has always been my hope and dream that I could impact an entire generation of kids, families, and therapists. And so the fact that all of you are listening, all of you are reaching out and wanting this training, even if you can't move to Tampa, I'm really excited about having this remote option. So you will find both on playtherapynow.com. So check that out. If you are interested in the remote training, we're going to be starting soon. So please reach out. We can have discussions and planning and things like that. If you are open to moving to Tampa, I'd love to talk with you about that as well. I have a couple of spots open at the center. So please feel free to email me, brenna@thekidcounselor.com. I love hearing from y'all. Thank you for your time with me each week. Thank you for the feedback that you give me. Thank you for just being a part of my week. I truly am grateful to do this. So thanks for listening. We'll talk again soon. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks. For more episodes and resources, please go to www.playtherapypodcast.com.